You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Nighttime is usually the best time to observe astronomical wonders, but daytime is the only time to see a solar eclipse. This Monday, April 8th, millions will gather across the United States to witness the first total solar eclipse in 7 years. And although the first date isn't in the coveted path of totality, Delawareans will still experience a partial eclipse, if the weather holds up. Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon spoke this week with UD Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy, Sally Dodson Robinson, about the total solar eclipse and where to view the rare cosmic event.
Sally, I think everyone or most of everyone listening to this already knows about the total solar eclipse coming up on this Monday, the 8th. That's when the moon will pass between the sun and Earth, which will block the face of the sun outside of, you know, that surface level general understanding. I'm not sure a lot of people, you know, me included, have a good grasp on the science and the context and maybe even the history behind the eclipse, but that's where you come in. So let's build from the bottom up here. What exactly is a total solar eclipse? You know, why is it happening now? What's the magic in this April 8th date?
Well, there's no particular magic. What happens is that the moon's orbit is tilted about 5 degrees with respect to the Earth's orbit around the sun. So if the moon and Earth's orbit were perfectly lined up, we would get a total eclipse once every month, but they're not. So when we get a total eclipse, it's just when the moon happens to be crossing the same plane in which the Earth orbits the sun, and it crosses that plane right in front of our path to the sun, essentially. Because of this misalignment in the orbital planes, twice every month, the moon goes through the plane of the Earth's orbit. And if it happens to go through the plane exactly along the line between the Earth and the sun, then you get an eclipse.
So the last time the U.S. had a total solar eclipse from coast to coast was August 21st, 2017. And there are some qualifiers with where you'll be able to specifically see the next total solar eclipse cycles, so to speak, but the next one will be, for those out there interested, the next one will be March 30th, 2033, and the one after that will be on August 23rd, 2044. And just for good measure, the so-called greatest American eclipse is in 2045. But so can you give us a little more context about how long, you know, this kind of cosmic event has been happening and how rare eclipses really are? I mean, I assume these have been going on since the beginning of all things. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. They're not rare at all. In order to get a recurrence of an eclipse in the same location, you have to wait about 54 years. So from the perspective of a human lifetime, that is a long time. And you can imagine in ancient times, this would have been pretty scary, right? So this is something that only happens once every 54 years, which means one person is going to see a maximum of two of them in their lifetime. And if you're not writing down and keeping records, then you might not see that, oh, this is a regular pattern and it happens and nothing's wrong. Everything goes back to normal. It looks like end times. So it's definitely scary, but this has been happening forever. And the reason it takes 54 years to get around the entire eclipse cycle so that you can see the same eclipse from the same location on Earth again is simply because the actual cycle of just the moon blocking the sunlight as seen from Earth in a total eclipse is a third as long. So that total eclipses that you see somewhere on the Earth happen three times as frequently, but just there is an 8-hour time lag between each of these eclipses. So you wait 18 years, but then there's an 8-hour time lag. And so you wait 18 years for the next one. That eclipse hits somewhere around the other side of the Earth because of this 8-hour time difference. And so you have no way of knowing, oh yeah, there is an eclipse happening somewhere on another continent. So, I mean, if there weren't this little 8 hours extra in the recurrence time between eclipses, then they would happen three times as often and people would have gotten used to them a lot sooner.
So the last time, as I just said, the last time the US had a total solar eclipse was August 21st, 2017. This time around, the path of totality, where all people can see the eclipse, that path is supposed to be wider and more populated, and the totality will supposedly last longer than it did 7 years ago. Can you break down those two things a little bit for us, and just how else this eclipse will be different than 2017's?
The totality is, I don't believe it's any wider in terms of the amount of area that it covers on the surface of the Earth. But what's going to happen is that the amount of the totality of the path of the totality that is over the United States is larger than it is last time. So that means that people over a wider swath of the country will have the opportunity to see it this time. So it's not like the eclipse is going to last longer. They just last about 2 minutes and that's it. It's just that in terms of the timing of the eclipse, the path will happen to take it across the continent this time, and across essentially the diagonal across the United States.
That's interesting. Yeah, this year's eclipse crosses from Mexico into Texas up to Spain, and it exits over Canada. So for us Delawareans, we are unfortunately not close to that all coveted path of totality viewing. Fear not, we'll still be able to experience a partial eclipse, and I believe that's only obscured around 86 to 88%. Sally, if we're planning to stay in Delaware for this, where would be the best spots to see the eclipse? Again, if we're not trying to go outside the state, we can get to that maybe in next question. But just for Delaware, where are the best, most optimal, viewing conditions?
Well, you can see it anywhere there's sunshine. So, as long as you look up in the sky and you can see the sun, then you can see the eclipse. So, you don't actually have to travel at all to get good viewing conditions. All you need, let's just cross our fingers that the clouds stay away. You just need some good weather. And so, a really good way to see it actually is if you take a colander outside and you just let the sun shine through the holes, you do that on a normal day. The spots of light that you get shining through the holes will be round, but if you do it during the eclipse, they'll be little crescents.
Well, if we're going around Delaware, maybe if you don't have to necessarily hoof it, go all the way up to, Maine or something like that, where, regionally, to get closer to that path of totality, what do you think there as far as a better view of the eclipse?
Well, you have to go right along the path of totality in order to actually see it get fully dark. So, if you have an 86 to 88% eclipse, what that means is, let's say right in the middle, 87% of the surface of the sun is blocked from our eyes. So, that's a lot. It's going to be way darker than usual. But unfortunately, you won't notice that if you step outside because your eye is very good at adjusting to different lighting conditions. So, when you're in your house at night and you have the lights on, those lights are way less bright than the sun is in the day, but you can still see as normal within your house at night. And so, what your eye will do is it will just adjust to the lower lighting conditions that you get from having 87% of the surface of the sun blocked. And so, it won't look like anything at all. It will not look interesting at all. Unless you actually use some kind of either eclipse glasses or a telescope with a solar filter on it, or if you try the colander trick, that's how you'll get to see the eclipse. But otherwise, if you just step outside and you hope to be aware of the eclipse just based on the fact that it's darker, your eyes are going to trick you and you're not going to notice that.
Like in terms of where you are, obviously, yeah, wherever you see the sun, you would rather be somewhere like a maybe like when we're thinking of like the micro of it all, you'd rather be somewhere like an open field than maybe like smack dab downtown, like if you were on a rooftop downtown, like that would be better, or like an open field if you were, let's say you're, southern Delaware and the beaches, like going out to a space like the beaches, would that be like more preferred, or is it really just get out wherever you could clearly see the sun and you're good to go?
Yeah, That's all you have to do. So for nighttime astronomy, that matters a lot. You definitely want to be in an open field if you can, where the horizon is unobstructed, so that if you want to look at your favorite object in the sky, there's not a big building there. And you want low light pollution because you can't see anything faint if you have a lot of light pollution. And the I-95 is just ridiculously light polluted. So ideally, you would get very far away from the I-95 for nighttime astronomy. But for the eclipse, if you can't go to the path of totality, which is where it will really get fully dark as night, then it really doesn't matter to see the partial eclipse. You can be in your front yard. You can be on your roof if you like that, if you want to. You can go to an open field, but it won't make the experience any better.
Well, where are you watching then? What are your plans?
I will be watching from Delaware, actually. Unfortunately, I am not traveling to see the eclipse. I do kind of wish I had made the arrangements and just pulled my daughter out of school and said, we're going. But my thought was, well, I'm still supposed to teach and my husband's still supposed to teach. It turns out a lot of my students are just going to see the eclipse anyway. So in terms of teaching, that may not be very necessary. I might not have very many people in my class. But there are some students at University of Delaware who are going down to Texas, and they're going to actually launch a balloon to hopefully get some observations during the eclipse. So keep your fingers crossed for them.
That's very cool. If it is overcast in like any capacity, will you still be able, like, and you put on your, you know, your solar eclipse glasses, your special solar eclipse glasses, you'll be able to, will you still be able to see the eclipse happen if it is overcast or just not at all?
No, unfortunately you won't. You have to be able to actually see the disk of the sun in the sky.
Okay.
And you, even during an eclipse, you should never look directly at the sun. So it's not safe to just look up there and see like, oh, can I see the crescent shape where the moon is blocking most of the sun? You definitely need to use equipment. Eclipse glasses are great, but sometimes the little cardboard ones, either if they don't fit perfectly or if they get holes in them, then that can also be dangerous. So you want to use a solar viewer or a telescope with a solar filter on it, or a good trustworthy pair of eclipse glasses, or try the colander trick. But you don't ever want to just look at the sun. But unfortunately, if it's cloudy, none of those tricks are going to work. All you're going to see is clouds. So let's just really, really hope that the clouds stay away.
Yeah, we'll put our chakras together. When it comes to obviously smartphones are also a thing. People taking pictures of the eclipse, people documenting the eclipse, you know, digitally, you know, whether it's with photos or videos. What do you think about that? And do you have any other kind of best practices, best safety tips for listeners out there?
So I haven't looked into how to do it with a smartphone, and your success of doing it would just depend on how short your shutter speed can get. So even if you are looking at the sun during an eclipse, it's still incredibly bright. So you're going to need the shutter of that camera to just open and close really quickly. But if you can get a short enough shutter speed, it would work, or you could put in a filter. So you could put a filter over that lens and it would block a lot of the light, and then you would be able to take a good picture. As long as you're covering your eyes, you could line up that shot and that would be fine.
Thanks to UD Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy, Sally Dodson Robinson, and our Kyle McKinnon for joining us on The Green this week. Up next, Arts Playlist, and a look at a new Delaware Art Museum exhibit that examines the representation and recognition of people of color in artistic spaces. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.